RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Pinion to hold on the left hash. Left to right angle for Gonzalez in his eighth year out of Arizona State. Trying to give the Falcons the lead in the final half minute. Liam McCullough to snap. There's the spot. The kick is away by Gonzalez. And it is good. 52 yards with 21 seconds left and gives Atlanta the lead at 27-24.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. You heard it correctly. It is a victory Tuesday coming in here off Monday Night Football. We are the Morning Chip. My name is Mike Johnson. She's Allie Mack. G-Money behind the window. Dylon, I think he's, I don't know, he's off watching Stranger Things or something.
Yeah, he is.
I did get to hang out with Squid Billy yesterday, and I bet you he wishes he was sitting in this chair right now because the vibes are high. The Falcons pull off the big dub last night. I'm just happy to be here, man. I don't even know how to put it. It's not shocking, I guess, the win, but it's one step short of that. You know, it's one step short of that.
Well, it is. And before the game even got started, the panel on Monday Night Football, you know, they make their predictions and everything, and everybody was Rams. And I was like, I just hope. Let's just show them. Let's just show them.
There were multiple commenters from the NFL Network or NFL.com on the socials last night that I wanted to punch in the face at times. I think it was Albert Breer who had a tweet that was like, there's three or four Falcons doing the dirty bird while there's a flag laying on the field 70 yards away. It's the most Falcons thing of all time. And I was like, you know what, dude? You just need to be punched in the face. It's just one of those things where it sounds like you need to be. Nick Shook was another one that was kind of talking trash at times last night in the second half. But I won't let him bring me down. It was awesome being in that building last night. It was awesome for the Falcons to be able to go out there and get that dub. And like you said, we'll break it down throughout the show and talk about the highs and lows and everything else that went on. But it didn't seem real at moments last night when you look at Matt Stafford and everything that we talked about coming in and MVP candidate and all of the above. And for him to go out and play the way he did against this Falcons defense and Bijan Robinson to have the night he did continues to show out in primetime in Monday Night Football. And, it just felt good to be a Falcons fan once again. It just really did.
It really did. And I got to, you know, piggyback off of what you just said about the commentators. Because last night, Joe Buck, as soon as we got a touchdown, he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We got to make sure that's really a touchdown.
I'm
like,
what was the deal?
Of course you're acting that way. I don't understand. But the vibes are high today. Although, did anyone breathe when Zane Gonzalez was going for that field goal? I was clenching my fists. Like, okay, come on.
It didn't. And all I could think about, and Garrett's probably in the same boat as this, all I could think about was how nice it is to have a kicker that can do that and how different this season could have been had you had that guy all along.
Yeah.
I just kept going back to that.
Yeah, no, he's coming to his own. He seems to be playing with a ton of confidence right now. I love that from Zane. I mean, he's playing so well. I think that kick would have been good from 60. That was a bomb.
Well, and did you see Mike Conti's tweet that was like, let's play the what if game. What if we had gotten this figured out earlier in the season? I can't let my brain go there.
I can't either. The Divine Diablo stuff, talking about how bad we were without him in the lineup. And I mean, you go down the list of a lot of things and I got to give Raheem credit. He's made a lot of changes throughout the year and he's pulled the plug on different things that were not working. And you remember the whole conversation surrounding J.D. Bertrand, midway through the year, and it was like, man, you know what? Suddenly he's inactive, but then he was active yesterday because Josh Woods not in the lineup. Ronnie Harrison became a bigger part of this defense. Kobe Bryant became a bigger part of this defense. C.J. Henderson. There's a lot of guys from the top down when you look at the names and the bodies that were thrown in the mix over the last couple of games. And it is interesting, as Grant and I were finishing up last night, and we're looking forward to the New Orleans game coming up this weekend. It's like, isn't it kind of crazy that two of the hottest teams in the NFL are now the Falcons and the Saints? They've won four in a row. We've won three in a row. Like, how is this even possible that it's come down to this situation and neither one of these teams going to the playoffs? But it was fun for a night for sure to not play the what-if game, but just see what this team's capable of, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt yesterday.
Yeah, we've got a lot to go over with this game. Real quick, let me run down the headlines since we last got to hang out, because there was other stuff going on besides the Falcons game last night. The Hawks, unfortunately, lost again, this time to the Thunder, 140-129. That is seven losses in a row now. They'll play again tomorrow night against the Timberwolves. Pregame is at 2:30 here on 92.9 The Game. Tip is set for 3 p.m. The Ravens say that Lamar Jackson's status against the Steelers is TBD at this point. Andy Reid plans on returning as the Chiefs coach next season. Ole Miss running back Kwon Lacy is listed as probable to play against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And, of course, let's go over it. The Atlanta Falcons beat the L.A. Rams last night, 27-24. Atlanta is 4-1 in primetime contests this season. I have to say, got to give myself a shout out here.
Oh, here we go.
Because in the Rise Up Rewind, I did say when the lights are on, the Falcons show up. I predicted this win.
You say that every week. What do we do? I was like, no, I'm not letting you get away with this. You say that every week. I was like, that's your calling card. That's your sign off.
I know.
I'll let you get away with this.
Go with the optimist route.
No.
Hey, they are 9-1 on Monday Night Football since 2015.
What's the record with the Red Helmets? That's the big
16-3.
There you go. Like, let's go.
16-3. I don't know if it's official yet, but I mean, aren't they? Haven't the Falcons put their name in back into the mix? Some expert in quotation marks, when it comes to uniforms and everything like that, talking about how the Falcons might be getting new uniforms.
They are. They have. They're because eligible. You have to do it 2 years in advance, and I know that they've put in for new uniforms. I don't know if they're in the red helmet. They should be. They should be the exact uniforms you wore last night, but I don't know if that's what it is or if it's completely different alternates or what have you. So, yeah, they do have some kind of new sequence that should be coming next year. But, man, watching them go at it last night. What's Kirk Cousins' record this year now? 4-3 as a starter? Something along those lines?
Yeah, I believe it was 3-3 before last night.
There you go. So feel good about that one as well. There's a lot of things to take away. Bijan Robinson setting the franchise record for yards from scrimmage. We'll go through all of that. But I just thought that coming out, and Bo and I did the pregame show. You and I talked about it yesterday. And when we were giving our final thoughts, I said, the Falcons have to play a perfect game.
Yeah.
And the craziest part about last night, I guess, is that they did not play a perfect game.
They didn't even
come close to playing a perfect game, but neither did the Rams. And for every kind of thing that swung your way, some things swung back their way, and you were able to really capitalize on some big moments. They did play what I would call a perfect first half with the pick six, the Bijan touchdown catch, being able to get different things done throughout that first half. I think it was only the second or third time in Sean McVay's coaching history where he actually was shut out in a half of football. So that was really cool to watch, really cool to see. Defensively, I just thought Jeff Ulbrich's game plan, how many times did you and I talk about it yesterday where it was like, how much will they blitz? How much will they stay back? How much will they pressure? How much will they just sit back and, you know, drop eight guys into coverage? And I thought they found the perfect mix. They did bring blitzes here and there, but it really did a nice job dropping guys into coverage, making sure they weren't overcommitted. And Matthew Stafford at times did kind of pat the ball and ask questions of himself as he was looking down the field and, gently slides back to second place in the MVP race because
Isn't
of the performance
crazy?
Last night. It really is.
It's just nuts. Let's go ahead and hear from Raheem Morris after the game. He spoke with Dave Archer on beating a Super Bowl contender.
The Rams are an excellent football team. They're well coached. They got a great organization. They got great leadership across the board. They got great football players across the board. We knew it would be a battle, and we wanted to show that we can play this type of football game. We could play versus this type of team. And the guys went out there and showed it. I'm so proud of all these guys with the effort and everything that put into it. And, you know, their work is paying off, and I love that.
And just like you mentioned, Mike, the Falcons, yes, are the only team this season to hold the Rams to being scoreless in a half.
Yeah, it not only that, but you look at the defensive performance. Now, the final score is going to say 24 points, but the defense didn't give up that touchdown. It was on special teams with the blocked field goal. And so you're going to look at this defense that three sacks, three interceptions, and a defense that gave up 17 points to the number one offense in the NFL. They were without two offensive linemen last night. We talked about it in the pregame show. I thought that Justin Dedich, I believe, is the right guard's name that had to play yesterday. Good player. But we talk about this all the time, Allie. And I think Garrett will appreciate this conversation as well. What they are as an offense is so different than what we are as an offense because of the offensive line personnel. That is a group up front that is a big, big unit for them. And being able to run the ball downhill is of the utmost importance. Their backup right guard was 295. Their starting right guard was like 330-something. Mm. And that is a big drop-off for a team that wants to go straight ahead. Now, if you ask me how much Chris Lindstrom weighs, I'd probably tell you he probably weighs as much as their backup guard. And so that's why we do things to the outside and the wide zone, and they go straight ahead with some of the duo plays that they run downhill. But I thought that that was something they needed to try to solve early in the game in the first half, and they could not get it figured out against our defensive front.
You saw they started finding some success early in the second half, and I thought that was really what was going to flip the game around, and kind of did to some extent. They were able to find a little success running up the middle, but Blake Corum was dealing with an injury in this game, and Kyron Williams really took off there in the second half. But look, this was a good instance for the Falcons in run defense. That's not a big defensive line for the Falcons. It's not very big. And the fact that the Rams were without, it's their problem. It's not our problem. The Falcons played as good a game as you could have asked for in terms of run defense, especially compared to what they've done this season. And look, to your point, I actually heard you talking about that in the pregame, and I hadn't realized that he's sub 300. And when you talk about a 30-pound difference, that's monstrous for an offensive line.
Yeah.
And you know that better than anybody.
Yeah. They also, I think it was DJ Humphreys that ended up playing left tackle last night for them that entered into the starting lineup for Alaric Jackson. And I didn't know how big of a deal it would be. DJ Humphreys is a veteran player, but the first fourth down they attempted to get was, I think it was like fourth and one inside the red zone for them. I can't remember exactly which yard line they were on, but Khalid Kareem absolutely blows it up, and guess who he beat? DJ Humphreys, right? Oh, yeah. There in the B gap, completely blows the play up, and Kyron Williams had no chance in the backfield on that one.
I talked to Khalid Kareem about that play after the game in the locker room, and he said it's credit to Brick. Perfect play call, and that's the way he lined up and the way that he attacked the gap. It was perfect.
Yeah.
He hit the hole at the exact right time, and I think you have the wide receiver who shifts back inside, and he trips him up a little bit. It looks like just a tad, but it doesn't matter. Khalid Kareem is shooting off the ball so effectively that he just gets all the way into the backfield and makes the play.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the adrenaline he was feeling after that hit? Like, whoa!
They weren't gashing you at that point, but they were having success finding yardage. Like, you weren't really stoning them at the line of scrimmage. They were having gains of 4 yards, 5 yards, kind of down the field when they needed to. They ran a couple of play actions. I don't remember if it was that series or the one before where you see the Caden Ellis tipped ball, as he backs into coverage and backs off of a blitz. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that was incredible, him knifing inside and getting in the backfield. It just, that whole thing in the first half, you had to have that play go your way. How about the overturned first down from, I believe, the first drive or second drive that caused them to have to punt, and you're able to go down and put points on the board once again. It was a really, really good first half for sure.
Was there a moment at all last night when you felt like we got this, or were you kind of just sitting and wait? Like, were you nervous the whole time, or is there
Did you feel that way?
No.
I didn't. No. I definitely didn't.
Not at first.
I knew that there was going to be I will tell you when I was the most comfortable. I knew that they would come out and throw a counterpunch to begin the second half. They come out and kick a field goal. You go right back down and you drain a field goal, and you're back up by 21 points, and it's 24-3. And I thought, okay, they threw a counterpunch. You countered back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just them kind of running away with it back into you in the third quarter. At that point, I felt like as good as the height was,
yeah.
Right? And then it was a roller coaster downhill.
Right.
And then it was like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah, there was a moment when they started scoring on us, and I sent Grant the meme of Michael Scott going, don't.
When they got to 24-10, I started being like, what would it take here? What would it take? But they drove the ball, and then they put it all the way down, and then they had the block field goal.
Yeah.
And then that one, it's just And I'm like, oh, okay, something's amiss. Something's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot to dig into on this. I mean, we haven't even talked about the Puka Nacua catch, non-catch situation. So we're going to dig into this win, what went right, what had you a little bit nervous in the second half. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
So the interception with 97 seconds left. 141 is what they put on the clock. And here goes Bijan Robinson! 30, 35, 40, midfield. It's a foot race. Robinson 30. 15, 10, 5, house call. Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. He just went 93.
Yes, he did. Happy Victory Tuesday. It is Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan has a little more time off. Garrett is in for Dylan behind the glass. We do need to talk about Bijan's incredible night last night. Broke some records. But how much sleep did you guys get last night? Because both of you were working the game.
Sleep? What sleep?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no. I call it an all-nighter. I got some sleep last night. I would say about 3 hours for me.
Okay.
Which is a really, really solid night's sleep when everything's considered. I would not have got that at home if I had tried to drive home.
No. I think I got about, I don't know, solid 45 minutes or so. I feel like Will Ferrell and Elf. It is like, oh, full 40 minutes. Basically.
I had to check my security system to see when Grant got home last night.
Yeah, yesterday was such a roller coaster. I was thinking back through my schedule yesterday when we played that Bijan clip on the way in because, and you know this as well as anybody, but I'll tell the listener, I did the show yesterday. I went home. I knew it was going to be a late night because we were going to be up 2 hours after the game, Grant and myself, doing the post-game show. So I go home, I take a nap, I wake up. I ended up going down to the stadium a little bit early because I knew traffic was always bad during prime time. We were going to go on air at 6. So I got down there a little bit early and I ate. Well, then I got to come back here for the post-game. So I left right at like the 2-minute warning.
Okay.
And as I'm walking out, I hear a roar from the crowd. And then I hear another roar from the crowd, like a bigger roar. And then the horn blows. And I was like, what? What just happened? So immediately I pull up the Odyssey app and and listen to the guys on 92.9, and with the delay, I was able to hear that entire cut as I was walking out into what I would call frigid temperatures last night as I was exiting the stadium. But it was really, really cool moment. I was happy I at least got to hear the crowd roar and the train horn as I was exiting the building. I was like, what's going on out there? Oh, my God, yes, yes.
Man, I'm sad you missed it, though, by just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I was sitting upstairs with Joe Patrick in the press box, and I was like, all right, buddy, time for me to go. Got to go back to the studio. And I always try to shoot that gap and have the drive just beat during halftime so I don't miss anything on the field. And there you go. I missed it. I dropped the ball on that one.
But you heard the crowd reaction.
Yeah, it felt good.
If you are just catching up, yes, the Falcons beat the Rams last night, 27-24. Bijan Robinson finished with 229 scrimmage yards, breaking the franchise record for scrimmage yards in a single season. Let's hear from Bijan after the game with Dave Archer about that play we just heard, that 93-yard touchdown run.
yeah, man. I mean, it's just one of those where you got to, you know, make somebody miss. And if you make a miss, then it can be nothing left. So it was one of those ones where I just had to stay patient, and he came in the backfield and, you know, just use the God-given ability and then try to, you know, we don't have a Jumbotron, so I can't look no, in the back.
Right,
so I had to keep on kind of looking back a little bit. But, man, we got in the end zone 93 yards, and it was a huge momentum change for our team.
Yeah, think about that. If he had looked up at the Halo board.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, I can't do that.
So he might have fallen down, actually.
I always think of, what was Adrian Peterson back in the day?
Yeah.
When he used to do his running, or he's like, yep. Now they're in the open field, and you just see him like eyeballing the,
yeah.
the Jumbotron. I didn't even think about the Falcons not having something like that.
There's been more and more guys that have done that, you know, since Jumbotrons became a big thing. I think Adrian Peterson was one of the first ones because screens just kept getting bigger and bigger
right.
in his time as a running back, and now you see it, you know, some punt returners, kick returners, too. They'll look up and just see how close people are behind them. So, yeah, pretty cool deal. I had not thought about the Halo board within that aspect until he said that last night.
Right, right. Well, and obviously it was Bijan's night. Like, it was a star-sided night for him. But Drake London, Kyle Pitts, where were they?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a head-scratching question because I'm thinking through the game, and Kyle Pitts has been really, really good over the last, I don't know, let's call it 6 weeks. And the entire conversation about Drake London coming back from injury was how can they kind of interweave these two guys to make sure you're getting the most out of them. And it was very clear last week that Drake London was still hobbled. He was not at 100%, even though I think he got 7 or 8 targets a week ago. He only caught 3 balls for 27 yards. So I just thought, okay, he'll get even closer to 100%. You'll continue to do Kyle Pitts things. And, you know, you'll make sure that both these guys are able to get their hands on the ball and get their targets. Just did not pan out as far as the game plan goes.
I do think, I mean, Kyle was able to make an impact in the game just getting first downs. That's one thing that he has been doing very effectively. Even if the yards really aren't super, like, off the charts incredible like they were against Tampa, he's still getting first downs. And that's something that he's done a lot this season. And he was able to do that in this game. And
yeah.
I'd say, like, Drake wasn't really part of the game plan. I think he's out there more of a decoy, it feels like.
Yeah, there was a huge first down catch. I believe it was on 3rd and 5-ish where Drake catches one and immediately gets hit by Emmanuel Forbes right there at the stick, but held on to the ball. And I thought, that's Drake London doing Drake London things. And that was in the first half. And I thought, okay, we're off to the races. We'll see Drake London doing more Drake London things, contested catches, physicality. Once he gets his hands on the ball, he's not going to drop it. And then it was just kind of went away after that. I'm still kind of shocked by it. Like, I kind of want to break down the all 22 once it comes out and just try to decide if this was something the coverage dictated for Kirk Cousins or if this was by design, Zach Robinson, knowing the personnel, knowing Sean McVay's thought process and, you know, knowing some of the guys that Chris Shula has, the defense coordinator, over there and the way they'll play. So I don't really have a good answer for it other than to say, kudos to David Sills and Darnell Mooney for a couple of big catches, and Bijan continuing to be a featured part of your offensive game plan. It was good to see.
Because Bijan was such a big part of the plan last night, were you surprised at the end of the game when he was on the sideline?
Yes and no. I think that Bijan, that as much as we want to see him have the ball every play, it's just not physically possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more he's taking hits, he's been extremely durable in his time here in Atlanta. You know, he's been able to play a number of games, and obviously that's why you see him being able to set records of you know, yards from scrimmage and things like that. Tyler Allgeier does bring a different aspect, and I thought that he would be a big part. It was almost like they went into the game plan going, hey, you're going to be a big part of the game plan. You're going to be a big part of the game plan. And then they got to the end and they were like, he hasn't been a very big part of the game plan. We said this was going to be part of the game plan. What are we doing? Get him in there. And it was just it just didn't work right there at the end. I was really frustrated with the a couple of the 3rd and short calls that you had, and I'm trying to piece together the timeline in my brain. But he's you try to run downhill at times with him, and it just doesn't work. He's there. This is a wide zone offense, and asking Chris Lindstrom and Ryan Neusel to block downhill and short yardage just has not ended up well for us more times than not.
Yeah, and I think that in that instance, the one you're referring to, Ali, is they kind of knew what was coming, and it became pretty clear that it was just a kind of a pound it out and see what you can get and just hold on to that darn football.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, Tyler Allgeier has 0 fumbles. He's never fumbled. Like, that's why I would want him in that situation. Not that Bijan's going to put the ball on the ground, but he has fumbled the ball four times this season. I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, that's why I'd want Algier in those types of moments. It makes sense in that sense, but ultimately, I mean, I'm fine with either one of those guys. It's the beauty of having an option of 1A and, well, clearly a 1B, but still a really good running back in his own right.
I couldn't help but think and wonder when Tyler Algier was on the field yesterday if we're seeing the last glimpses we have of him in a Falcons uniform over the next couple of weeks. It makes me sick. Yeah. He's one of my favorite players. He's been one of my favorite guys to talk to off the field. I've been with him at a couple of different events, and he's such a bright personality. You know what I mean? Him along with Bijan Robinson, same way. And so watching him kind of run the ball, and he did have a couple of plays where he got ahead of steam. But I couldn't help but think about it last night. I was like, man, I hope they find a way to make sure that he is back as part of this running back rotation. But he deserves an opportunity. You know, to go start somewhere if that's what he wants to do. But, man, he's such a special player, too.
I get big-time Michael Turner vibes from him, like big, yeah. Michael Turner vibes. Because when Michael Turner came to Atlanta, I mean, he was playing behind a guy who is just like Bijan Robinson and LaDainian Tomlinson. Very, very similar and having
that's a good call.
Outstanding seasons and breaking records out there in San Diego. And then he comes to Atlanta, he just gets an opportunity, and then he's Michael the Turner Turner.
You're right as far as his style goes. I think of him and his role, and I think of a guy like Jason Snelling. Ooh. Jason Snelling was such Jason Snelling one time broke his jaw in a game and finished the game. And the next day showed up with like a softball on his cheek because his jaw had been broken. I believe that was a playoff game against the Giants. That his role with the team reminds me of Jason Snelling, but that's a good call on Michael Turner as well.
What was the worst injury you had? You actually played through. Played through. Off the top of your head.
I don't know. I had like a really slight shoulder separation at one point. God. Ended up having to get like the lidocaine shots in the shoulder right there in the joint. You know, with the long needle.
Yeah.
Did that for like nuts.
Five or six.
No, yeah. Seriously.
You guys are nuts. I'm sitting here. Oh man, I'm sore from sleeping on the floor, man.
It always felt like an elephant set on your shoulder. It was like, oh God. Once it started feeling better, they were like, hey, come get your shot. I was like, no, I'm good. It's crazy. I've actually healed. I've actually healed really good. So yeah, that's probably it.
You can't complain about anything when a former NFL player is around.
No.
They have played through so much.
Well, that's what I'll be the first to tell you. He's like played through. I'm like, I don't know. I had some bad injuries, but I didn't play through any of them. It was you know, a couple high ankle sprains here and there that I tried to play through. But yeah, I mean, most of the injuries I had ended up on a surgical table. So that is what it is.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, the vibes, of course, are very high today on this Victory Tuesday. We've got a lot more to cover. We've got to talk about Jeff Ulbrich, Brent Dorlus, James Pierce, Xavier Watts. Got a lot to unpack with this game. Coming up next, got a few college football playoff games coming up. We got to look at those. And we've got my Mac drop. Do you remember everything that went down in 2025? Because it was a lot, and we will go over it next with some trivia on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Here's Stafford to throw on first down. He wants to take the deep shot, and it is intercepted by Watts, but a flag is thrown. Xavier Watts with the interception on the ball intended for Xavier Smith against Caden Ellis.
Yeah, they're going to call PI on Caden Ellis. Somehow, Caden Ellis.
Oh, it's going to be against the Rams.
Oh, my God.
It's going to stand. This play is going to stand. Oh, my goodness.
It stood. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Garrett's hanging out behind the glass. That was just a glimpse of Xavier Watts, his big night right there.
It really was an incredible night for him. And absolutely the correct call. When you go back and look at the offensive PI against Caden Ellis, there was a push off, and Xavier Watts just flies in out of nowhere and gets his hand on the ball. I mentioned this last night to Grant as we were kind of signing off in the post game and working our way through some of the stories. One of the biggest things in this stretch run that the Falcons have enjoyed is simply actually bringing in interceptions when it counts. Xavier Watts, obviously, with a couple last night, Jesse Bates with the pick six. But last week, C.J. Henderson has an interception to seal the game. D. Alford the week before against Tampa Bay is able to get the ball back in the offense's hands. They go down and drive down and win the game. So there were so many times. Remember, Garrett, I think it was 2 years ago, we went the entire season without a corner having an interception. And it was Jesse Bates had like all of them. And I think Richie Grant had like maybe one.
Yeah.
Maybe one fell in like Grady Jarrett's hands or Troy Anderson or somebody. But yeah, it's just nice to see the secondary be able to come up with these turnover worthy plays and actually, you know, put them on the board.
And you go back to week one too, where the Falcons probably had like three or four interceptions that they had and then they dropped. And then if you just get one of those, it changes the game potentially.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come down to a field goal at the very end of the game. But, I mean, shoulda, woulda, coulda. And the Falcons, to your point, that's a great point that the Falcons have been bringing down the interceptions. You got to finish the play, make the great play. And Caden Ellis, I mean, he doesn't come out with these interceptions and stuff like that. He does have the one great pass defended in the first half. He was all over the place in this game. He was deep down the field. He was making plays east-west. He's going north-south. I mean, he's going all over.
I know. I was like, is that Caden again? Again? Yeah, he was all over the place.
Everywhere.
We are celebrating this Falcons win all morning. Tweet us your reactions. What was the best play in your opinion? Who do you want to come back next season? Give us all the thoughts at 9-9 morning shift. And right now we're going to get into some college football. Kawan Lacy is a probable to play for Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. He had been dealing with shoulder issues.
Allie, I could sit here and try to diagnose what exactly he means and what exactly that news means. And all I keep coming back to is just how massive this game is for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And that's really the only thing at the top of my brain looking at this matchup. And I think there's going to be so much involved on both sides, But Ole Miss, being in a town that is right down the street from where your old coach is now, being in a place like the Sugar Bowl, having a chance to win the biggest game in your school's history, I think that Georgia is going to absolutely be able to get after it. But I think having a guy like that in the lineup actually provides a little bit of game-breaking ability that we've seen from Ole Miss against Georgia over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and another one that you got to keep an eye on is Colby Young, listed as probable here for the Georgia Bulldogs. He has been out since that game that they played Athens. He was wide receiver one. He was your big guy down the field, and Zachariah Branch, of course, is still your game wrecker. He's listed as probable. I mean, I guess that means he's going to play. I don't know. But I mean,
probably,
I guess. But that's going to be a big one coming back here. And when it comes back to it, when you talk about Lacy and the way that Ole Miss is able to find some success, I mean, you've got the same guy calling plays technically as the offensive coordinator, but are they going to be able to replicate that level of explosiveness? That's where I kind of get a little uneasy for Ole Miss, because they played about as perfect a football game as you could ask.
I agree with you, but I do feel like there is some level I would have of uneasiness if I was Glenn Schumann in this defense, of saying, you know, a lot of things can change. And especially when somebody else is in charge and sees things a different way and does things a different way, whereas you've played Lane Kiffin's version of Ole Miss a couple of times. Not that you have a beat on what they're doing, but you have a good understanding of how they're trying to attack you, and then all of a sudden somebody else is doing it. Mm-hmm. It's like, I've told you guys a number of times, Georgia's been my pick to win the national title for a couple of months now. I just think they're too well-rounded. I think they swarm really, really good on defense, and I think Ole Miss is going to have an uphill battle on their hands for sure.
And Drew Bobo also is one that he is not going to be playing in this game. That's going to be another big loss for them.
No question.
Just kind of hoping he comes back at some point throughout this process. I mean, I think you can survive this week without Bobo, but moving forward into the postseason, man, it would help to have him back. It really would.
Moving over to the Rose Bowl, Indiana's wide receiver Omar Cooper will be fully available when they take on Alabama. He had suffered a lower body injury in the Big Ten title game previously.
You won't be able to peel me away from a television on Thursday.
Yeah.
Will not be able to peel me away from a television on Thursday. I had a chance to play in the Rose Bowl, the stadium, the Rose Bowl. I played in the national championship game in the Rose Bowl, which was not the Rose Bowl. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain at this point. There was a Rose Bowl like 8 days before we played the national title game. But really, really cool event. Watching Alabama's players after their last round victory against Oklahoma, kind of having the roses in their mouth as they walk off the field. That was a really cool thing for us. And it is the most beautiful setting in college football. It's not even close. Kirk Herbstreit's talked about this a couple of times. If you wanted to vote to have the national title game in the Rose Bowl every year, nobody would argue with it because it's that unbelievable. When you look at the trees that come up over the side of the stadium, when you look at the mountains off in the distance, when you look at what the weather usually always is out there, although not looking great on Thursday, it's just a place that seems surreal when you're inside of it. And that's going to be a really, really good matchup.
It's going to be such a great football game. I know. I'm in here in studio. I'll have it up on the TV. I'll be ready to go. This game is as fascinating as of any of these matchups because you have the legacy brand, you have the big dog, and then you have Indiana, you know, who's ironically the number one overall seed in this entire tournament. And, I mean, they still have yet to win a college football playoff matchup. I mean, I know a lot of people have started kind of crowning Kurt Cignetti a little bit, and he deserves a lot of attention. He deserves all of the flowers that he's getting, but you got to beat the big dog. And to this point, Alabama's been a big dog. Can they get over the hump? Can they run the ball? Do they have to run the ball?
It seems surreal to me. You brought up the fact that they're the one seed. Seems surreal to me that Georgia is a 6.5-point favorite over Ole Miss, and in this alternate world we now live in, that Indiana is a 7-point favorite over Alabama.
How about that?
It just doesn't it doesn't register with me. And it's been said multiple times, and I've talked about it. Kirk Cignetti was on staff with Kirby Smart and a number of other guys when I was at Alabama. Kurt Cignetti was our wide receiver coach. Kurt Cignetti was Julio Jones's wide receiver coach, and actually a big part of his recruitment to Alabama, which I don't know that I could have hand-selected two personalities to be much more different than Julio Jones and Kurt Cignetti. It's hard to even, at this point, I know I've seen it before, it's hard to even picture them talking to one another. They're just so unique in the way they go about their business. But it evidently worked for some time, and Kurt Cignetti has had a lot of success ever since then with some of the stops he's made as a head coach since his 4 years under Nick Saban. So, yeah, man, that's a special ordeal, and we'll see what happens throughout the next couple of days, but I'm stoked about it. I really can't wait to sit down and watch some of these matchups.
Well, and Ohio State is going to be a big one. They're going to be defending their title against Miami in the Cotton Bowl.
This made me sick because I heard somebody talking about how it was the 2002 game, the Ohio State versus Miami national title game, the pass interference game, and I believe this is true. There's only like three players that were alive that will be involved in this game. There were only three players alive at the time that last game happened, which is insane to think about. So anybody that would be like 23-year-old and up at this point, I can't believe that's a true fact, but that makes me sick to my stomach.
So while we are celebrating the Falcons' win today, we are also saying goodbye to the year 2025. Mike, this is the last time we'll be in the studio this year.
Yeah.
So I want to quiz you guys on 2025, the events that were. But since you both are on such little sleep.
I knew she was up to something. She starts folding paper here, getting her pen out. I'm like, oh, here we go.
However, since you're both on such little sleep, would you like to just run through these and see if we can all guess together?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
it doesn't need to be a heated
exchange.
The tank
is on E. The tank is on E.
All right. So here is some trivia. This all happened in 2025, believe it or not. Which school opened up a $62 million football stadium in Gwinnett?
Buford.
There you go.
Buford. What app had influencers making tearful goodbyes before it shut down, only to be restarted 12 hours later?
TikTok.
That was TikTok. What pop star went to space with five other female celebrities and caught a lot of heat for it?
Katy Perry.
Is Garrett going to get all these mics?
Here we go. I'm foggy. I'm letting him rip off these things.
What celebrity raved about the atmosphere at Sanford Stadium after he came to town with Texas? He said the crowd was loud from
the
beginning.
Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
Yeah, there
Matthew
you go.
McConaughey. He was shocked by it.
I think that Which is crazy because it's not like this is not some kind of Hollywood guy that just shows up at a college football game and like, wow, this is crazy. Or some kind of, you know, person from London that comes in and they're like, wow, this is insane. Like Matthew McConaughey goes to a lot of college football games. He's been around a lot of atmospheres. And so for him to say that about Athens and Sanford Stadium, I think actually kind of raises an eyebrow a little bit.
Well, what raises my eyebrow about it is he's wearing the exact same thing every single time he goes to one of these games, and he can afford a different outfit. He's superstitious.
Every time he goes to a college football game, he wears the same thing.
Same outfit.
It's the burnt orange leather jacket.
And the hat.
And
the cowboy hat.
Oh, I got you.
He wears the same thing every time.
Yeah, but why would you want to change that up? That's a
classic look.
It's a good look.
Wow.
Matthew McConaughey can do whatever he wants to style-wise, right?
This is true.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's got to be
split hairs here.
Coolest people. Okay. He's got to be one of the coolest people.
Yes.
On the short list.
Yes. All right, what Atlanta team manager decided to call it a career after 49 seasons?
Go ahead, G.
That's Brian Snicker.
There, that a boy.
Yeah, that's
he had that
Brian
twinkle
Snicker.
In his eye through the glass.
I was excited.
I want to see if he can go undefeated here.
There was a viral debate going on in April. We even covered it, and it was who would win the fight between 100 men and what mammal?
Is it a gorilla?
That's a gorilla.
Yeah, hear that a boy. Man, he's on a heater right now.
He might
have a clean sheet here.
What band was playing in July when a couple got caught having an affair on a kiss cam?
Ooh, Coldplay.
Attaboy, G.
Coldplay.
Man. It has been a long year.
It has been a long year.
That feels like forever ago.
Right?
I could have sworn that was 2024.
If you get this one, Garrett, this is going to tell us a lot about you.
All right, let's go.
What fashion accessory / plush toy took over the world this year? Kids kind of have it on their keychains.
Oh.
They're little animals.
They are.
This one is all. I was letting you run through them before, but I really have no idea what this one is.
I've heard. Is it like Kim Kitachi or whatever? What's it called? No. Shoot.
You're thinking of Tamagotchi. It's
I
not
am
that.
Tamagotchi. I'm
I was
going to
say,
that.
We talked about Tamagotchi a couple weeks ago.
I know what it is. And the thing is, it's going to. Because my fiance's, her nieces. Well, I guess my nieces.
They wanted them.
They wanted them. And. They're very expensive.
La boo-boos.
La boo-boos?
Yeah, no, I was not going to get that.
Yeah,
no?
I was going to say.
It's crazy. It's kind of like Beanie Babies.
I have genuinely never heard that word.
Did you guys make the investment in the Beanie Baby craze back in the day?
No.
Come on.
Not at all.
La boo-boos.
What event took place at the All-Star Game here in Atlanta that had never happened before?
Event that took place at the All-Star Game?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Hank Aaron tribute was pretty cool.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously that had not happened before. But what settled the game?
Oh,
the home run off.
Yeah,
the
home run swing off.
The swing off. Yeah.
Yeah, good
the
call.
Only time
good
call, in my life I've rooted for Kyle Schwarber.
True.
Fair enough. I think a lot of us fall into that category.
Yes. What's the nickname of the woman who is still yet to be identified who stole a ball from a kid in an MLB game?
Oh, the...
Philly Karen.
Yeah,
let's
Philly.
Go.
That's it. Philly's Karen. Yeah.
Let's go. I couldn't let you struggle through that one, G.
What was the word of the year, even though it's a number?
6-7.
6-7.
Yep.
While many couples got engaged this year, including Garrett Chapman over here.
Hey, man.
Who captioned their photos? Your gym teacher and English teacher are getting married.
Oh, I know this.
Yes,
one.
You do. You
gym
both know this.
Gym teacher and your
English teacher are getting married.
Yeah, dude, but neither one of them are gym teacher and English teacher.
Massive celebrities.
Oh, it's Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why I was thinking like that Summer I Turned Pretty show, and I'm like, I don't know.
As a former gym teacher, I was appalled by this.
All right, one last one. What movie starring Josh Allen's wife proved me wrong? And the vampire era is definitely not over.
Oh, that was Sinners.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it Michael B. Jordan?
That was an intense movie.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was intense.
You went and watched that? Like in the theater or at home?
I was at home.
Okay.
I was at home.
I'm just over the vampire thing. I wanted to be done.
Dude, it's never going anywhere. It's like being over the superhero thing.
I also didn't know it was a vampire movie. I had no idea. I just knew people were watching. So when I tell you, like I saw these random people, and I'm like, well, these guys are kind of weird.
What's wrong with this guy's teeth?
What's wrong with this guy? And then he just like flashed his teeth, and I'm like, oh my God, is this a vampire movie?
Vampire movie.
In the world of veneers, that must be intentional.
Like, I don't know. I didn't know if it was Matthew Stafford's teeth or if it was just, I don't know. It was a weird one.
All right, coming up, we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly of last night's game, but really, there's not a lot of ugly. Mike and Garrett will give their verdicts next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Here's Stafford out of the gun, looking left, still looking left, checks it back across the middle, intercepted on the backside. Jesse Bates, 20, 15, 10, 5, house call, touchdown Atlanta.
Love that. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Garrett is filling in for Dylan behind the glass. Bo will be back with us next year, since we'll be back next year.
There you go. Yeah, it does make it sound a little far off at this point. It does.
This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We are about to get into the good, bad, and the ugly of last night's victory. But here are the headlines before you head out. The Hawks unfortunately lost again, 140 to 129. The Thunder took them down. That is seven losses in a row. Ravens say that Lamar Jackson's status against the Steelers is TBD at this point. Andy Reid plans on returning to the Chiefs as coach next season. Ole Miss running back Kawan Lacy is listed as probable to play against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And of course, Monday Night Football. Last night, the Falcons beat the Rams 27-24. Here's Kirk Cousins after the game with Dave Archer on winning, even though they're eliminated from the playoffs at this point.
Yeah, you know, we got that question going back several weeks, and it just wasn't really a concern for me because of the character of the guys, and I know who I go to work with every day, and they're positive people. They want to do things the right way. They listen well. They're great teammates. And so, if anything, I just felt the weight of, you know, you want to see guys like that go to the playoffs and have great success. And so to know that that wasn't going to happen hurt and stung, but not at all surprised by the way the guys have played the last few weeks.
I made the point to Grant last night as he and I were talking about the comments from Kirk and thinking through that and how big of a deal it is to have that kind of attitude in the locker room. And I say this, and it's just not like a, hey, you know, play for Raheem or play to save anybody's job, but just simply put, you look at the list of names of people that Drake London's looking for an extension. Kyle Pitts is not under contract. Caden Ellis is not under contract. David Onyemata. Just there's a list of guys up and down this roster that don't have contracts or homes for next year. That's why you go out and play as hard as you do. Mm-hmm. If you're Kirk Cousins, then obviously, you know, financial security next year will be fine for him, but not everybody else around him. Elijah Wilkinson. I mean, there's players throughout this roster. I think when fans tend to look at it, they go, oh, you know, but you lose or, you know, for other teams, get a higher draft pick, not for us right now, but there's just so much that goes into this thought process. Nobody in that locker room is going to give up, and I think they did a nice job of kind of displaying last night. They've got everybody's back right now.
Mm-hmm. They absolutely do, and usually this time, every single week, we do the good, bad, and the ugly, but after last night's victory, we got to throw that up. Yeah, we can't do that.
So vibes are too high.
Yeah, we're going to do bad, good, and great for today. So let's go ahead and start with the bad. Get it out of the way. Mike, what do you consider bad from last night?
Is there any doubt about what was bad last night? And I think it's too easy to kind of hone in on the blocked kick. And I'll go ahead and say special teams on the through. I will say I thought Bradley Pinion had one of his best games of the year. just absolutely booming the ball when necessary. At times, he has come up a little bit short when you've really needed him to step into a ball. But I thought the blocked field goal mixed with the very end of the game when you just kicked the game, what would go on to be the game-winning field goal, they go kick the ball in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And no time runs off the clock, and the Rams are allowed to bring that out to 35-yard line. When really, at that point, now all you need is, what, 20, 25 yards to get into field goal range? I thought that was an absolute blunder. I don't think that could happen in that circumstance, and I thought kicking that ball 2 yards in the end zone was bad. But the Jared Verse block, as well as that play right there at the end, special teams, as much as I liked Bradley Pinion's punting and Zane Gonzalez nailing two field goals, continues to be an Achilles heel.
I will say this, though. I was not surprised at all that the Falcons kicked the ball into the end zone. Even in that situation, I wasn't surprised it happened. I don't think that Raheem has any confidence in that unit right now.
That's fair. I just don't think he does,
and it's not worth the risk. And the fact that you'd rather have him come out to the 35-yard line is pretty damning. And look, it happened in that Jets game. It's the biggest reason why they lost that one. I mean, happening against the Seahawks and special teams blunders there. And
you were also without Josh Woods yesterday, who is one of your special teams aces as well.
Yeah, and you've been without like D'Angelo Malone and a lot of other guys who have not been a part of this team here just due to injuries or other reasons. But I mean, so I figured you were going to go that direction. I'm going to go somewhere else.
And go ahead.
It's going to be an injury related item. Brandon Dorlus, he goes down with an injury. It's a left knee, and we don't know what exactly it is yet. I know Raheem Morris is going to be asked about it today. I'm sure we'll get some kind of update after the press conference is over. That's just kind of how it goes sometimes. But it's not good. And based off the amount of pain that he was in coming off of the field and when he was being stretchered off the game out of the game, I mean, it was not good. And for a guy who leads you in sacks right now with 8.5, he had taken off this year. And after the redshirt season in 2024, you really were looking for him to take on a big role, and he did. And he's delivered in the biggest possible way. He's played 15 games now this season, has 8.5 sacks. I mean, it's one of the best seasons of any interior defensive lineman, much less for somebody who's, 24 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's a young cat, and the sky's the limit for him. Team lead in sacks.
Well, and I feel like you could feel the energy shift when he left the game, too. The momentum changed a little bit. All right, let's move on to the good. Mike, what do you have as your good today?
I actually had the game plan on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. We talked about at the pregame show yesterday that Kirk Cousins, over the last four games, I believe, has averaged 35 passing attempts. And I wondered how much of that would kind of play into how they went about their business yesterday, because you really needed to keep Matthew Stafford and the Rams offense off the field. And by throwing the ball around and playing from behind the way the Falcons have over the last couple of weeks, you were going to stop the clock. You risk going three and out. You risk putting their offense back on the field. I thought the game plan to hand it to Bijan a ton and to keep Kirk Cousins' passing attempts down, the only way you were able to do that is because you did jump out to a lead. And then defensively, I look at Jeff Ulbrich. You didn't go out of your way to blitz a ton. And that's been a calling card of the Falcons throughout the entire season. They're so blitz-heavy. They're blitz-heavy on third down. They brought some pressures, but even when they added a linebacker, they dropped an edge. You know, it was like very rarely more than four people that were ever blitzing at one given time. So I love the game plan from both coordinators that really came together to put the Falcons in a spot to be able to come away with the win yesterday.
Yeah, and that's my biggest one. For my good, it's pressure without blitzing. It's 25% of your dropbacks did they send pressure. That's among the lowest for the Falcons this season. And that flies kind of in opposite of what they were doing in recent weeks. I mean, they had been sending a lot of pressure. And he fluctuates it based off of who he's playing, you know, because when he's playing Tyler Shug and stuff like that, I mean, he sent a lot of pressure because it's a young quarterback. When he's playing Jacoby Brissett, he sent a lot of pressure because he's somebody who lets pressure get to him a little bit. Matthew Stafford's not one of those guys. Matthew Stafford's somebody who feasts on teams who send extra bodies, especially once it's picked up with that solid offensive line that he has playing in front of him. So it was one of the biggest keys for me in this game is getting some pressure to him. And you sack him three times, you pressure him 11 times. It's the difference in the game for this team. And keeping that offense off out of rhythm, there's a reason he threw three interceptions. And it's pressure.
Yeah, I agree.
And last but not least, great. What do you have down for great today, Mike?
What do you think?
Everything.
Everything.
On the count of three, we could just say what the great is.
Bijan Robinson is a man amongst boys right now, and it's crazy because I think we fall into this lull of every week we see something special, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody. I do the post game show, and I'm like, all right, I even had to think about it last night for a split second. I'm like, who's the fantasy player of the game? I'm like, what am I even talking about? Mm-hmm. Like, how could that even be a thought process? But he's been so dependable. He's been so resilient. He's been a guy that, you know, throughout his three-year career here has shown up and has always been in uniform, and he's always doing something special. But last night, you remember, Allie, it was a conversation for us going through training camp. I think his career long was 38 yards, yeah. And he wanted to have a new career long as far as explosive runs, and he's done that multiple times. And I would say a 93-yarder is almost as good as it gets when it comes to a running back being able to get into the secondary and break away from some of those people. So I think that's something, that's a goal he wanted to accomplish. It's something we're all very lucky to see. You add him into the passing game, he's your leading receiver yesterday as well. It's just special. And him setting that franchise record, I know that Grant appreciated this because Grant's a baseball guy, and any old school baseball guy would always talk about the asterisks next to the records whenever you expanded the season from 154 to 162. It mattered to me that he got that in 16 games.
Yeah.
It mattered to me that you didn't wait until week 18 to get that record. And so happy to see him come away with that. I think that we're spoiled watching him every week, and that's why you hear the excitement in Raheem's voice when he talks about him.
And you talk about him getting that explosive element to his game. 93 yards is the longest in franchise history. It's the longest in the NFL since 2020. It's uncanny, and you nailed it. I mean, the guy does something special every time he touches the football, and it's hard to really put it into words when it comes to just how special this guy is. When you get to watch him every week and you see him in practice, it becomes almost casual for these folks just watching this guy play. I said this on the Hometown Take. I have a buddy who lives up in Cleveland, moved up there. He's from Atlanta. Hasn't been able to watch Bijan Robinson all that much. I mean, he's got a little baby and everything else. But this was a Monday Night Football, and the Falcons were playing. He's like, I'm really excited. I get to watch Bijan Robinson. I'm like, just sit back and enjoy, man.
Yeah.
Just enjoy. And he's going to put on a show, and that's exactly what he did in this game.
I think it also bears mentioning, too, when you talk about his numbers. A lot of times when you have a huge – I don't remember what his stat line ended up being. Was it 197? That he ended up having on the ground last night?
195, fifth most in Falcons history.
Okay, so 195. I think sometimes when you see large numbers like that, you look at it and go, oh, but if you take away the big run, if you take away the big run for him, he still had over 100 yards rushing yesterday. Like, I think that's important to kind of make sure you throw that caveat in there. It's like, oh, 93 yards. Even when you take it away, the night was still really, really good, and especially in the passing game as well. So he's just special. And there's no other way to put it. He's really, really good. And, hopefully we can get him in some playoff scenarios in his time here in Atlanta. I think that's the next step for him.
Garrett, I do have to tell you, I got a promotional email from a Cleveland company yesterday because it was Victory Monday. And I clicked on it just to see what their merch was like. First t-shirt that's available is House of Sadness with a picture of their stadium. I was like, this is not a supportive company.
Are they terrible? That's brutal.
Are they building the new stadium?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they're moving out.
They're the ones who
didn't
set
they just
up the barge
have
fall.
A new stadium? Well, I guess when they were brought back to Cleveland.
I was
going to
say, what was it, about 25 years ago?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. In this
that's been a minute.
Think about how long Turner Field lasted.
That's true.
That was, less than 20?
Yeah, I think it said House of Sadness since like 99 or something
there
like
you
that.
Go.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
It'll end up being a 30-year stadium, which kind of makes sense.
Well, coming up, Matt Stafford did move up in a record last night. Despite that loss, we'll cover it and zoom out on the rest of the NFL next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake, delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Rams 5 of 8 on fourth down over their last four games.
So Kyren Williams has come in. He's the lone setback. Stafford under center. And Stafford going to hand to Kyren Williams. He got blasted. Whoa! Khalid Kareemed him. My heaven.
Kareemed him. I love that. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I mean, that was a hard hit. We are the morning
so
shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan will be back Friday. Garrett is filling in for Dylan behind the glass. We are talking about this Falcons victory all morning long because it was just fun to watch. It was just fun.
It really was, man. It just felt good. I think a lot of Falcons fans, and I'll share this emotion, it's like you kept coming back to, man, I wish we could make the playoffs. I wish that there was some kind of way we could make the playoffs, but that was not part of the equation last night. It becomes even more frustrating when you look at the NFC South scenarios, but it just kind of is what it is. And once you kind of got that out of your brain, you're able to kind of celebrate. I know that there is a faction of this fan base that would probably tell you they were almost sad yesterday to see us win because of what it could mean for the future. I don't live in that world. I've said it a number of times on the show. That's not the route that I choose to go mentally whenever I'm rooting for any of my teams, much less the Atlanta Falcons. So, just settled in, got a nice victory, and it just felt good. The vibes were high in the building last night.
I feel like the emotions have gotten muddied around this team over the last few weeks as far as Falcons fans. Like, who do you want to come back next season, right? That's the big question today, and we do want to ask you that in the wake-up call. So if you have thoughts now, you can't be with us at 8 o'clock. Make sure to go ahead and tweet us at 929 Morning Shift. And thanks to last night's game, there was a ripple effect with Matt Stafford. Let's talk about it and go in the huddle. Well, after last night's loss, Matt Stafford is no longer the favorite for MVP this year. It is now moved over to Drake May. But despite that loss, Stafford has passed Ben Roethlisberger for 6th on the NFL's all-time passing yards list. He added 269 to his record last night.
I'm going to heap praise upon Matt Stafford before I get to the next stat. Incredible career. Really, it was a lot of fun to watch him in person again last night. He's somebody that, I got to be on the field at the same time as multiple times in his times with the Lions and going up there and playing at Ford Field. I was there, the Falcons, we were playing when Calvin Johnson set the single season receiving record. Matthew Stafford obviously throwing the ball to him. So just an incredible player. The longevity, the talent level he's playing at right now, the way he's operating that offense is really insane. The other side of your story when it comes to stats that he was able to set last night, I think he tied the NFL record for pick sixes thrown in a career with like 32 or 33.
Wow.
Which is just crazy to think about how long your career has to be if you're going to throw that many pick sixes and play at the level he has played at. So I'll have to look up the exact number, but I remember that popping up last night. They were like, with that pick six, Matt Stafford has tied the NFL record. It's like, geez, that's crazy.
See, I didn't even hear that one. That's a good one to stick in the back pocket.
I think it was with Brett Favre.
It sounds like a Brett Favre stat. That sounds like a Brett Favre stat.
Gotta be.
But Matthew Stafford was that type of quarter, and I tweeted this after the game or during the game, that fourth quarter drive where the Falcons kicked the ball off through the end zone. We talked about that a couple of segments a little bit ago. And he could put the ball into any spot on the field at any given time. And he overthrew one receiver at one point, but that throw to Puka Nacua in the back of the end zone was an absolute dot.
That was insane.
And then you talk about the one down the sideline, an absolute dot. It's just his arm talent is so incredible. It really is.
It's crazy also. I don't think a lot of people think about it. And since we brought up Ben Roethlisberger, watching him roll out and then keep his eyes downfield and square his shoulders and just kind of like backpedal away from the pass rush, like that's just not something that normal people do. That's one of the other things that makes him so special is his ability to kind of get out around pressure and still make throws down the field. He did it numerous times last night. It's very Big Ben-esque the way he's able to do that.
Ruco Rorto called him one of the last. He called him the last OG quarterback in the NFL. How do you feel about that?
I love that.
I get, unless you want to count Phillip Rivers, which, I mean, he is the OG.
Yeah. I am curious. Garrett, are you a little bit conflicted about the news about Matt Stafford maybe not getting MVP due to last night's game? Because you're a UGA alum.
I'm not an alum. I'm like most Georgia fans. I didn't go to school.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry.
He's adjacent.
Adjacent. I'm an adjacent.
You're a UGA fan.
Yes, yeah. I mean, no, I don't care too much about that necessarily. I think that he's had an elite season. I think he deserves to get that kind of recognition. I think Drake May does too. I mean, I'm completely fine with it one way or the other. You know, I'm more worried about the offensive player of the year and the defensive rookie of the year. And Bijan Robinson and James Pierce Jr. getting some well-deserved recognition there. I don't think either of them are going to win the award when it's all said and done, but I think they should absolutely get some votes.
Gotcha. All right, Ravens are saying that Lamar Jackson's status against the Steelers is to be determined. And this is a big game. It will crown the AFC North champion, but John Harbaugh says they will know more tomorrow.
And John Harbaugh goes about his business in a strange way when it comes to injuries, where he'll get like Snoop Huntley like all the reps, and then Lamar will come back to practice for like one day, and then he'll not practice the next day. It's just they always do things very strange. There's nothing to take away from the injury reports for the Ravens. So I guarantee you that we're going to hear, oh, Lamar practiced in full, and then it's going to be like he's still questionable, and then it's like Lamar didn't practice today. There's always craziness surrounding that team, and I do think they have to do a good job of getting Snoop Huntley all the reps necessary to make sure he's ready to go. And if Lamar can play, great. He's, you know, he's a MVP, two-time MVP or whatever it is for a reason. But you can't let your season hinge on whether or not he's healthy. I think Huntley has to get a bulk of those reps this week if they're going to be ready to go.
Is there a result that was more predictable than the Steelers losing that game to the Browns to set up week 18 against the Ravens in a winner-take-all?
The Falcons fans that did not like Arthur Smith will say no, because watching his offensive output against that Cleveland defense, it just felt very predictable. That was nuts.
It felt like they didn't want Myles Garrett to get the sack more than they wanted to.
That's what Myles Garrett said. I've made this point a couple times now. It probably would benefit your offensive game plan to make sure Myles Garrett's not hitting your quarterback, though.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's like, true.
That's very true.
I was going to say it kind of goes hand in hand. Like, I don't think I want him hitting Aaron Rodgers. Breaking news. So, I mean, good for Myles Garrett. And I think that he's just riding the high of the win, and he should. It's been a tough season up there. But, yeah, I would say that's fine by me if that's what they were focused on. Yeah, sure. They probably should focus on that.
Crazy stat, though. Against teams who are 8 or more games below 500, in their last 5 games, the Steelers are winless. They're 0-4-1. 0-4-1
really?
Against teams. Their last 5 games against teams who have lost 8 or more games, or the 8 or more games below 500.
Just can't help but feel like if they lose that game, and I think that's a Saturday game.
Sunday night football.
Is it?
Sunday night football.
Okay, so then you must have the Rams, Niners, and the Panthers, Bucks on Saturday. Meaningful games all weekend, but I just can't help but feel like if the Steelers lose that game, that might be headed for a divorce in the head coaching situation. It just feels like it's starting to move that way, which there's been questions about John Harbaugh as well this year, but man, some stuff will be up in the air for sure.
Yeah, just confirming Seahawks 49ers is Saturday night at 8:00.
There you
go. Andy Reid says he plans to return to the Chiefs as coach next season as long as they'll have him.
As long as they'll have me. Not that you're a first ballot Hall of Famer in just a closet full of Super Bowl rings. No big deal. This is a no-brainer from both sides. I know that people look at the Travis Kelce situation and Patrick Mahomes' injury and they go, oh, Andy Reid might take this opportunity to hang him up. I think he genuinely enjoys at this point in his career showing up to work every day.
Yeah.
I think that when you're a coach that's scratching and clawing to make a name for yourself and worried about getting fired, I think that's a completely different scenario. Andy Reid's not going to get fired, and he is a Hall of Famer, and he is just kind of going to be able to coach however long he wants to. And I think because of that, it's probably very, very nice to just show up and sip your coffee and game plan, watch a little tape, you know, coach Patrick Mahomes whenever he's healthy and just kind of ride into the sunset.
You're not surprised a little bit that he's coming back?
No, because like I said, I think that this is just a guy, I think he's very comfortable, you know? Like, he makes great money.
Yeah. I don't think he wants to go out on this season.
Yeah,
I think that's fair.
That's another good point as well. I mean, he's not exactly pulling a Bill Cowher if he were to walk away right now.
True.
So, I don't find it shocking at all. I think that he would do right by the Chiefs to usher in a new era as well if and when, you know, Patrick Mahomes can't play at the beginning of next year and Travis Kelce's not there and a lot of other stuff that's up in the air.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with it too. I mean, because I don't think if I'm the Chiefs, it's not that I don't want Patrick Mahomes to play. It's that roster needs a lot of love and
yep.
They need to kind of not fully hit a reset button, but figure out some things and do things a little bit differently and kind of, you know, give him some reinforcements. And I was curious when I heard you say that, because I hadn't heard the news that Andy Reid was coming back yet. But how about that? Good for him.
And the Chargers will be resting Justin Herbert in the Broncos game. Trey Lance will start instead.
I wondered if there was a part of me that wondered last night if when the Falcons were up 21-0 at halftime, if you had come out and made it 28-0, I wondered if they would pull Matt Stafford out of the game last night.
Really?
Because there's just not a lot of room that they can move up and down in the standings. They can't win their division. They have to be a 5 or a 6 seed at this point, and I don't know if that's worth them going out and playing him the second half, and you still might not even be able to win the game.
Did you see Davante Adams on the sidelines yesterday? I was wondering if they regretted not playing him last night, because before the game, he was running and looked great.
Yeah.
There was talk about him getting shut down for the season.
Yeah, I think that's probably where they're going to err. I
don't think he's going to play.
After watching him run, I think he ran okay in the pregame, and I did. I saw the film of him running pregame. I have a hard time believing he's going to play next week for a game that really just doesn't mean much in the end. And I am a massive proponent, like I said, of when you're out of it. But when you have the playoffs and you do feel like that with him in the lineup, you are a Super Bowl contender, sure. I mean, you're good. Like, we'll just see you in a little bit, man. Just show up when we get that first-round game.
But it's also the difference between playing the NFC South champion versus playing the Eagles.
Is it the Eagles? Yeah, I thought that.
The Bears.
I thought it was.
I mean,
which is why we saw Matt Stafford finish the game last night.
Yeah,
I'm sure that you would rather have that. But didn't the Rams lose to one of them already this year? Am I making that up? One of the Rams' losses, I think, is to another NFC South team.
I can look.
Yeah.
To the Eagles. They lost to the Eagles.
Not the Eagles.
No. You said the NFC South.
Yeah, didn't they lose to the Panthers? Or?
They lost to the Panthers, 31-3.
There you go.
Good call.
Bam.
How about that?
It's not that easy for them. They might, they might be like, he would really have the, no, they're not saying.
They beat the Buccaneers 34-7, though.
Bam. That one got sideways.
34-10 over the Saints. Yikes.
Coming up, we got a few college football games to preview. Very curious how Mike is feeling about the Rose Bowl coming up.
Hey, man, it is what it is.
Okay. And it's Top 5 Tuesday. Mike's going to close out 2025 with the final list.
You see how she snickers at me when she talks about Alabama football? She just kind of snickers at me like she's kind of poking at me like, oh, they're playing the number one team, blah, blah, blah. No, I ain't worried about it. Yeah, I got Top 5 Tuesday. We're going to do the top five plays from last night's game, in my opinion. You'll love it, I promise.
That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. 7:43, we are the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan will be back next year. Garrett is in for Dylan Behind the Glass. This segment is presented by John Foy and Associates. Experienced personal injury attorneys, get the strong arm. It's very odd to see you in a backwards winter hat like this, Mike.
Yeah, what do you call these? It's not a toboggan,
what do you call it? It has like...
That's kind of a toboggan.
Wool, is it? The flaps that
with
come
flaps
down over
down?
The ears.
Yeah, it's just a ball cap, but toboggan?
It's a new era Falcons hat, but then you have the added, ears with the fur.
Like, flaps. I'm used to seeing you in a backwards hat, but not one that has like the wool flaps coming up over
I love this hat. You know, I got this hat. I was doing a trip up to Fairbanks, Alaska to watch the Super Bowl with some of the troops, like a USO
amazing.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things that I got from our equipment room before I left. I was like, I need something to keep me warm. And they handed me this before I walked out, and I've had it ever since. So it's 13 years old, this hat. So, yeah, I love this hat.
That's good such stuff. A cool hat.
It is really cool.
It's one of one. I don't think I've ever seen something like that.
Yeah. I like it. Well, you can check it later on the 929 Morning Show.
Yeah, we're going to be putting up a video later on. You can check it out. We are going to get to Mike's top five in a moment, talk about college football playoffs. But after last night's Falcons win over the Rams 27-24, I do feel the emotions are kind of all over the place. I would love to take the temperature of fans and where they stand, who they want to return next season. I did see a tweet from Walter Wiggin, tweeted us. He was saying, yesterday felt like a playoff game. Falcon fans are ready for a successful season. Bring in Mike McCarthy. Bring in Malik Willis. Sign him to a 3-year, $40 million deal. Update jerseys to the current throwbacks.
Malik Willis is going to get more money than that. First and foremost, I've been talking to a couple people the last couple of weeks about Malik Willis. We can't afford to pay. Well, we can afford it. Let me run that back. But you're not going to pay. Starter level money, I don't believe, unless it was Kirk Cousins, to any quarterback to come in here and learn a new system and play in front of Michael Penix for, what, 4 games at the most? So I don't think you'll get there. And I understand the frustration. I think this is going to be an interesting wake-up call when we get to it in 15 minutes of who wants Raheem to stay, who wants Terry to stay. Zach Robinson has had some of his best efforts over the last few games. And how do you feel about Kirk Cousins? Do you want Kirk Cousins to be around? Tyler Allgeier, Kyle Pitts, Cade Nellis. I mean, the list goes on. So who do you want to be around? Who do you not want to be around? I know that there is a large contingent of people that say rip the Band-Aid off, start over. But this, there is something to this team and watching them yesterday that felt like you were building something. Mm-hmm. And I would say the one thing above all else that I keep coming back to, who do you want to stay? Jeff Fulbrick, for me, has got, it is a non-negotiable. The guy has got to be a part of whatever you're doing moving forward. I realize it's outside the box thinking, even if you hire a new head coach, well, you got to allow the head coach to hire whoever he wants to. If a head coach got hired here and he did not want to hire Jeff Ulbrich to coach this defense, I would think he was probably dumb right out of the gate before he ever coached a Falcons game as a head coach. I mean, I just would. What he's been able to do, guys, he solved the problem of the pass rush. And I realize some of it is definitely personnel. But Brandon Dorlus is a prime example. Brandon Dorlus was here last year. Brandon Dorlus suddenly has 8.5 sacks. You know, the knee injury stinks, but I've got to have Jeff Ulbrich. When I look at the development of Xavier Watts, the development of Jalen Walker, the development of James Pierce Jr., the development of Rook, D. Alford.
Yeah.
I've got to have these guys back. I want that defensive unit to remain whole. I want to see Billy Bowman back healthy and Mike Hughes back healthy and add maybe a run plugger in the middle. I want to see that run back next year. Barring whatever you do with anybody else, if I'm picking one person that's got to be back in the fold, it's got to be Jeff Ulbrich. It makes me sick to think that you could possibly set a franchise record in sacks this year after what we saw a year ago, and then that guy just walk out of the door if something were to happen with the rest of the staff here. It makes me sick.
Yeah, you're only 2 sacks away from breaking that franchise record. There's a pretty decent chance that you go get that done against a rookie quarterback in Week 18.
It'd be nice.
Pretty good chance. But you would also have your 4th defensive coordinator in 4 years.
How do you
draft for that?
You don't.
I know people talk about it. It's like, oh, so-and-so doesn't fit the scheme. Yeah, because he was drafted for the coordinator 3 years ago.
And I know that
it was different than the one from 2 years ago.
We had the conversation yesterday about Matt Ryan possibly being in the front office. And that was exactly what I'm talking about. I want a linear vision for this team. I want pieces that will fit. Not a coach that says, I'm coaching for my job, so this guy's got to play. Or a GM who says, man, I'm going to trade whatever draft picks I have to so that I get good players in here because I'm going to be fired if not. I want the vision to be the best thing for the Falcons long term when it looks, you know, that everything's going on. That just fits that exact scenario I'm talking about. I don't want a different coordinator every single season if you don't go to the playoffs. I mean, it's just how I feel right now.
And I'm sure you have some feelings about who you want to see return. We would love to hear from you at 929 Morning Shift. We'll take your calls in a few minutes, right at 8 o'clock. We'll do the wake-up call. That number, if you want to go ahead and lock it in your phone, is 404-726-0929. We do have the college football playoff quarterfinals coming up. So I am curious. We talked about probables before, Mike, but how are you feeling about the Rose Bowl matchup, Alabama, Indiana?
I am this is crazy for me to say. Yeah, here we go. Man, this guy always
every
pressing my
time.
Buttons in there. I don't like this song.
I know.
I don't like this song.
I you didn't like the song?
Dude.
That's so funny when you're like,
I actually
Mike,
didn't know.
When you go, Mike, I got something for you, and you play it every
like
time.
I know. This is the second time you've done this.
I wish you would have told
And look,
me that.
The song's fine, I guess. It's just so overplayed.
It's true.
For the love, man.
Okay.
Can you imagine playing for Alabama, though?
Oh, dude, it's
and
so,
how
I mean,
often
it's,
you
I bet
hear
you do
it.
Hear it.
Constant.
Yeah. Just, I bet it's
constant.
What song would you prefer?
Good enough tune. Yeah. I don't know. Dixieland Delight, if you're going to play
one. See, that's the classic
one. There you go. The Dixieland Delight. Actually, the Green Day song. What is it? I can't remember. The band plays a Green Day song, which is really good. I have to get you with that one here in just a minute.
All
but
right,
no, I feel like they have a puncher's chance, you know, maybe more than a puncher's chance. LT Overton is back healthy. He hasn't played the last couple of games. You've got a couple of guys that will be coming back. And also, I look at Ryan Williams and what your expectations are of him. Maybe he comes up with a big play. He's almost like thinking you're going to get a player back from injury because he's been non-existent, more times than not. So I don't know. I feel like this is going to be a contrasting style. I worry about getting in a slugfest, with Indiana because they play a bruising brand of football. But I think that if you can protect Ty Simpson, that he is capable of making some downfield throws. He's also been dealing with injuries as well. and hopefully he can get back healthy. But Indiana's good. They remind me so much of the versions of Alabama I played for when Kurt Cignetti was in town and when Kirby Smart was in town, that we didn't even really have an explosive offense, but we were going to absolutely hit you in the mouth on any given play. And, you know, that was just kind of the brand we played. That's what they're doing up in Indiana right now. So,
do you see parallels, I guess, with McElroy and some of those guys in Fernando Mendoza?
It's a little bit of a loaded question, Garrett. you know, Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, but they won multiple national championships.
I think that Greg was so good at operating. Greg back then was a little bit like Kirk is now, where it's like, okay, he's not going to be game-breaking. He's going to sit in the pocket, but he's going to know where to go with the football. It's exactly what Greg was back then. I have a lot of respect for Greg McElroy, there's no doubt. But, you know, that was a running back-led team with Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson. This one's a little bit different with Mendoza. They do have a good running game, but he's kind of, you know, when it all comes down to it, he's the one that's going to have the ball in his hands. So but
you didn't play with McCarron, did you?
Well, I mean, not as a starter, no, but he was actually on the team. He actually was our backup quarterback during the national championship when you were not allowed to play. Our backup, who was Star Jackson, transferred to Georgia State during bowl practice. And so they had to have the conversation with AJ. They're like, dude, if something happens to Greg McElroy, you are going to burn your red shirt and play in this national title game.
Wow.
And, you know, shout out to him. He was up for it. So, and now he's the head coach of the Birmingham Stallions.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, good for him. All right. Quick little top five Tuesday. We're going to relive some of the moments from last night. This Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Maybe you were at a Buffalo's Cafe last night as you were watching the Falcons get the dub over the Los Angeles Rams. So we're going to do top five plays, my top five plays from last night. There's a number of them to pick from. I think anytime most people do a top five list and there's a game-winning kick, you probably get down to the top of that list and maybe game-winning kick's number one. We'll get there in just a second. I'll tell you what it is. All right, G, let's start with number five.
So now it's third and goal back at the four here. Cousins gets in the gun. Warner off his right hip. Two to the left. London to the right. Snap to Kirk. Pressure coming. Kirk going to flip it toward the end zone. Robinson touchdown at the right side. Atlanta's on the board first tonight. Bijan Robinson. His fourth touchdown catch of the year.
The old floater pitch from Scuffy McGee, if you've ever watched Rookie of the Year. Kirk Cousins steps up in the pocket, floats it over the defender. Everybody in the stadium saw Bijan Robinson open. The question was, can Kirk get him the football? He was able to. You get on the board first. All right, got to fly through here. How about this one, Garrett, for number four, big one?
Rams 5 of 8 on fourth down over the last four games.
So Kyron Williams has come in. He's the lone setback. Stafford under center. And Stafford going to hand to Kyron Williams. He got blasted. Whoa! Khalid Kareemed him. My heaven.
You got to love it. Khalid Kareem knifing inside into the B gap inside of backup left tackle DJ Humphreys to make the stop on fourth and one. Really flipped the attitude of this game early on. Khalid Kareem, standard practice squad elevation just one day before, and comes up and is able to step up and make a play. So shout out to him for being able to get it done. All right, I did mention game winning field goals. Garrett, let's hit number three.
Pinion to hold on the left hash. Left to right angle for Gonzalez in his eighth year out of Arizona State. Trying to give the Falcons the lead in the final half minute. Liam McCullough to snap. There's the spot. The kick is away by Gonzalez. And it is good. 52 yards with 21 seconds left and gives Atlanta the lead at 27-24.
For people that don't understand the scenario surrounding this, myself, Grant McCauley, Dylan, Garrett, whoever is here running the Falcons board, we are hearing this all happen in real time, but we're TV is like a 90-second delay.
Yeah.
So we are all holding our breath. We're like, please, God, don't block it. Please, don't block this. As we lock arms on the sideline. No, I'm just kidding. All right, speaking of big plays, let's go ahead and hit number two.
So the interception with 97 seconds left. 141 is what they put on the clock. And here goes Bijan Robinson. 30, 35, 40, midfield. It's a foot race. Robinson 30. 15, 10, 5, house call. Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. He just went 93.
Woo, the vibes were high at that point. The 93-yard touchdown run from Bijan Robinson, a career high, I don't even know. We can just go down the list of highs from, you know, since 2021 or since 1996 or whatever else there is in there. It was a huge run for Bijan Robinson. And also, it comes down to this number one play, which was Matthew Stafford chunking the ball downfield.
Here's Stafford out of the gun, looking left, still looking left, checks it back across the middle, intercepted on the backside. Jesse Bates, 20, 15, 10, 5, house call, touchdown Atlanta. For the fourth time in his career, and the second time as a Falcon, Jesse Bates has a pick six.
Maybe my favorite top five list to date. You know what I mean? Just, what are we, 9 hours old with some of these cuts? And I'm like, it's a stroll down memory lane.
Yeah.
Let's just play these again and again. Can't get enough of it, man. Big night last night.
I mean, that has to be the top five list that is full of the best energy to date.
Yeah, Wes and Dave got a shout-out on the Halo board last night for 20 years in the Falcons booth, which was really well done by the organization. And just in Wes and Dave fashion, they kind of waved at the camera and got right back to work.
Yeah,
Wes was already back on the call before the video ended because the Rams were running the ball up the middle. And he was like, all right, cool. And Squid obviously sitting between them. Really cool moment. But shout-out to those guys and a couple of big moments from the Falcons last night.
They are so good at their craft. Well, coming up, we've got the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. We've been talking about it. Who do you want to return next season? Raheem, Jeff Albert, Kaden Ellis, Kyle Pitts, Kirk Cousins. Run through them. We want to know. 404-726-0929. That's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Eight 44 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo will be back on Friday. We'll join him again on Monday. Garrett is in for Dylan behind the glass. He's in New York City seeing the Stranger Things play. Good for him. I'm a little jealous.
I was so taken aback by this. I was like, where are you headed? I'm going to New York to see a Stranger Things play.
I'm a little upset because there is a piece to that play like you need to know to understand all of it. So I'm
what?
Yeah, I mean, they put the story of a character in this play. So you have to understand that to understand the rest of it. But there's enough influencers and TikTokers to explain it to me. I just want to see it myself.
I'm so, like, what? There's so many layers to this thing.
I know. It
why?
Keeps going. Because it's fun. Because
well, I guess why wouldn't you?
It's the Taylor Swift of TV now because there's so many Easter eggs and all this,
right.
this stuff going
right.
on.
Right. It's an interactive experience.
Yeah.
There was something, Dylan was explaining to me something too where he got the wrong tickets for his New York trip because one of them was already sold out. So he's actually seeing the finale in the theater before his trip to New York. I don't know. It's a lot of craziness, but I hope he has a good time.
I do too. There are so many layers to it. Like there are Stranger Things commercials now on TV and apparently they're linked to the show. Like the actors and actresses are taking on these campaigns. Like there's one in a Tide Pods commercial and it links. I don't want to give anything away, but it links to the show. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
What do you mean it links to the show? That just because they're actors in the show or it's like part of the storyline?
It's kind of, it's foreshadowing.
Have you watched this show, Garrett? Like, are you up to date on this show?
Not fully up to date. I haven't watched the most recent season, but
yeah.
I watched the other ones.
That way I don't feel out of the loop, man.
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, and I normally don't I don't normally get in on this stuff. So the person that's the most proud of me right now is one Grant McCauley.
He's
like,
that.
You are so in on this. I love it.
Grant's so, such a unique guy that Grant McCauley. Last night, Arch was mad about a call where somebody's leg was getting twisted. And he was like, you're not allowed to twist them like that. And Grant. Just in the background, just as dry as ever, goes, well, usually the show I watch on Monday nights, you're allowed to twist legs and pin guys down for a while. And I started cackling at that. I was like, I don't even know who he's talking to, but I heard him and I thought it was hilarious.
Of course, he's referring to Monday Night Raw.
Monday Night Raw. He's like, yeah, I usually watch show on Monday night where you can do that. Good stuff.
If you have never been to a live event for the WWE, by the way, you should go. It is fun.
I've been
with Bo Johnson before.
I went to Money Nitro, which was the WCW version back when I was a kid. I was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And the Raven was a big wrestler back then. He used to walk out through the crowd. I like followed him out, ran down the concourse. And there was at one point Sting was in the rafters right over the top of my head with his spotlight
down.
On him. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was just, I used to be all into that life. I was Sting like 3 straight years for Halloween.
Really?
Yeah, black trench coat and everything.
I mean, it's such a spectacle to go to those shows. Ra is coming to Atlanta, by the way. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Got to say it again. Falcons beat the Rams on Monday Night Football, 27-24. One thing I've been meaning to ask you about today, Mike, is the fourth quarter Puka Nacua catch, non-catch.
Yeah.
Did you see, like, could you see that he had dropped it? Because I was holding my breath. I don't think I blinked while it went under review.
Such a strange catch for a number of different reasons. And it wasn't necessarily that he dropped it. It was almost like his hand and his body both came off the ball at the same time, but it just hovered in place long enough for his hand and his body to come back together.
Yeah.
I was checking the socials last night as we were doing the postgame show, and it was almost like if you weren't like a Falcons fan, just NFL in general, just fans out there just watching a Monday Night Football game, it's like they wanted it to be a catch because it was so cool. You know, it was like, oh, that's a catch. I'm like, not really, but I can see where you'd be rooting for it to be a catch because it was such an incredible effort.
Was this the same energy as, was it Florida, when Georgia was playing Florida, where there was a catch, non-catch, and everyone went back and forth?
Yes. Yes, and there was definitely that, and there was also the touchdown, no touchdown with Auburn in Georgia.
Yeah.
Where it was like, you just believe what you want to believe at this point. You know, nobody really even knows. I think there was a clear loss of control in this effort, however, for Puka. And, you know, that was probably the difference in the game right there at the end.
Yes, it was.
It's just crazy to think back if that had actually landed as a catch, you know, and it was upheld on review. You can't challenge that inside of 2 minutes. So that's a booth review, and to me, they made the right call. I can see where if you're a Rams fan, you're like, man, he had that. He caught that ball. I get it, but by the rule, he didn't maintain control.
Yeah,
so,
I saw that all over social, too. It was like, this is the greatest NFL non-catch ever.
Yeah, I mean, a lot to be said about it. Yes. I thought it was incredible. I was watching. I was like, oh, God. You know, and when you hear, I said this a minute ago, when we're back at the studio, you're listening to Wes and Dave live, but the video feed, TV feed's like a minute behind.
Yeah.
So you're listening to them describe it, and Arch is like, did he catch that? No, he didn't catch that. He might have caught that. Oh, my gosh. And then you're like, okay, I can't wait to see what's happening here. And then you finally see it, and you have the same reaction Dave did. You're like, oh, my God, did he catch that? No way. Thank goodness, though, they did not overturn that, because that was a massive point in the game, and that would have made me really sad.
This morning would have been a little bit different. It would have been a little bit different.
Vibes would have been a little bit different, possibly.
Is there anything left about this game you haven't gotten to say yet, Mike?
No, I'm really the former player in me gets really excited about this scenario. And I mentioned this earlier a little bit, and I think it bears talking about again. When you look at why these guys are playing, I think there can be a fan standpoint where, well, they're playing for the coach, or they're, you know, or the opposite. Like, hey, these guys have cashed in for the year. It's you know, Cancun on three. There's so much about this locker room where I think, and Kirk said this a little bit last night, they're playing for one another. You don't know what situation the guy is in next to you. And this is the ultimate team game. There's 11 players on offense, defense, special teams, whatever it may be. Kirk owes it to Drake London to get his numbers or whatever it is, to get that extension, or throw the ball to Kyle Pitts because, you know, he's got a contract in front of him and he's going to be a free agent. I think if you're, you know, if you're Ruka Rororo, you owe it to David Onyemata or Caden Ellis or one of these other pending free agents, and you know what the future is for this defense. So I just really think these guys last night did a good job playing for one another and blocking out all the other noise. They're so good in primetime. They're so good in the red helmets. Yep. They're so good against the best teams in the NFL, honestly. When you look at the Buffalo Bills, and you could have beat the New England Patriots, right, possibly, and you know, the Rams,
close.
The Colts was close. It just there were so many different things about this win last night that just felt really good. Mm-hmm. And I think it stinks that the playoffs is not happening, but back off of it, enjoy the win, and it was good to get one.
And we are trying to jump in here, trying to do my best Squidbilly impression. I just can't do it very well. I was going to come in here hot with it, and I was like, I don't know.
Do you drive a Honda? You don't have to say what kind it is or what color.
Just a Toyota.
Toyota, okay. He drove in on the W Sauce Toyota? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Does he have the truck situation figured out yet?
Yes.
Yeah, he does, man. He's got a new rig. Yeah, he's pretty stoked about it.
Don't talk about vehicles, because morning shift vehicles are cursed right now. Everybody got a replacement, and then I got in a wreck.
All of us had a rental at the same time at one point.
What is going on
right now? Yeah. I know. Don't talk about your vehicle, otherwise it'll happen to you.
Within a 2-week window, we all had a loaner. It was crazy.
Yeah, we did.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, hopefully I will change the topic very quickly to something that is a little bit more fun. How about the Pop-Tart Bowl? I was able to go down there for all those festivities.
Yes.
BYU, they get the big one over Georgia Tech. Kind of a bummer there for the Yellow Jackets. But at the same time, is that not the greatest thing in the world?
It really is.
It is so much fun. And when I tell you, it is so much better in person. It is so much better in person. You have these guys running around the field. You have the Pop-Tart who jumped off the end of the toaster.
Slamming strawberry.
Exactly. And I see this guy. I'm down in the tunnel, right? So I'm walking into the press conference. I'm about to set this up. And I'm like, I got to watch the jump into the toaster and
right.
do all that other stuff.
They're being sacrificed.
Right, exactly. And I just see all of a sudden this guy just disappears. I'm like, where the hell did he go? Because I can't hear really anything down there. It's like something, I don't know what's happening. And then yeah. I just see him sprinting all over the field. He's all over the place. And then I'm like, that's strange. Like, what's going on? And I'm like, okay, cool. And I just like walked away. And I looked to my left. And then wouldn't you know, it's the Buff strawberry Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
About
to slam and strawberry.
Kind of projectile out there, and he was just he looks like he was about to pass out. He was running wind sprints up and down the field. No, but the whole point is, I mean, this game is fun, and this is what bowl games are supposed to be. They're supposed to be an exhibition. They're supposed to be two teams who play really hard and play for their teammates. You know, you talk about these guys like Drake London and Kirk Cousins playing for each other. That's what Georgia Tech and BYU are doing in this game, and I mean, that is what college football is in the bowl season. And the Pop-Tarts are also just a lot of fun.
Real quick, because we only got like 10 seconds, Chip Kelly takes the OC job at Northwestern.
Yes.
Does this mean that Chris Winkie is in line to get the job at Georgia Tech?
So Chip Kelly's interview did not go all that great, according to people who I'm familiar with.
Interesting.
He was removed from consideration pretty quickly.
Wow.
It's not going to be – it was never going to be Chip Kelly.
Wow.
Yeah. Interesting.
Okay.
According to what I heard.
Can't imagine. Somebody didn't like Chip Kelly? I can't imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never
right.
heard that scenario play out before.
I do have a conspiracy theory about the Pop-Tart sacrifice. Ooh. Because they jump in the toaster and they come out as edible Pop-Tarts, right?
Yeah,
for
yeah,
the
yeah.
teams.
Like
also
cake.
Got a bite of those.
Nice.
How was it?
I'll show you some. I'll show you.
Oh, yes.
I have a feeling someone messed up the Slammin' Strawberry one, and that's why he was like, nope, I'm going to refuse. And he had to run off because there wasn't one.
No, that whole thing's way too well choreographed.
Nope.
Nobody
it
messed
is,
it up.
They had a freaking puffy, whatever you call it, the thing that you jump on. I don't know, the tumblers.
A bounce house or something?
Yeah. He jumped onto that on the backside.
No, I understand that, but I think they're like the baker was like, I messed up this Pop-Tart. You can't sacrifice.
You didn't get the muscles.
No,
yeah, you can't
I'm not
sacrifice
going with
the
that.
Strawberry one.
No, it's
like
setting
the
up.
Marketing
it's setting
thing
up
of all time.
For 2026. That's what it's doing.
It's a storyline, like WWE,
yes.
but Pop-Tart.
Or like Stranger
version.
Things.
All right, got it. We're
Broadway
story
show.
Building.
Pop-Tart's the Broadway
world
show.
World building. Well, I want to say congratulations to Todd and McDonough. Won the tickets to the boat show. You can grab yours at atlantaboatshow.com. That's going to do it for us for the year, Mike.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So for Mike, for Bo, for Garrett, for Dylan, and for myself, Allie Mack, thank you for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
eat your Pop-Tarts in 2026.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.